ANI Mike Parsons with WJR Digital Sports Director Nick Lundberg, the brains of the operation. Taking a look at the weekend that was in football and looking ahead at Baltimore versus Detroit tonight, Monday night. And Nick, I have to say, this is everything that I thought I knew about the NFC North leading up to this weekend. You got the Packers losing to the friggin' Browns, and then you got the Bears beating the Dallas Cowboys. It's not like the Dallas Cowboys are anything great. However, I wasn't sure if the Bears were capable of beating anyone this year, let alone in blowout fashion.
Yeah, they obviously look like a team that was pissed off from last week after the Lions hung 52 on them at home. Obviously, Ben Johnson's return back to Detroit for the first time definitely was a little embarrassing for him, and he wanted to, no pun intended, embarrassing, but he definitely wanted to make a statement this week, and what better team to do it against than the Dallas Cowboys?
Well, and this was the Bears' second revenge game in 2 weeks. You mentioned Ben Johnson in Detroit, and then Matt Eberflus, the defensive coordinator for the Cowboys, was bounced out of Chicago last year.
Yeah, they definitely wanted to show him that they could score some points this year without him. Obviously, that defense with Eberflus was pretty nice, but the whole problem with his, you know, game plan was that they couldn't score. And now it's kind of seems like a little bit of the opposite with Ben Johnson. The Lions, you know, played pretty good defense against the Bears. They had some good drives, but ultimately the Bears' defense is what cost them against the Lions. And they played okay against the Cowboys, but, you know, the Cowboys this year, it's kind of hard to predict where they're going to end up at, but you see some positives from their offense. You like their defense, some negatives. So maybe not the best test for the Bears, but a great first win for Ben Johnson.
Right. And I mean, to that point, and to my point earlier on to start the show about everything that I thought I knew about the NFC North being a lie, it was a bit dramatic, but I think it speaks to the point. I kind of feel now, especially since you don't ever see any starters playing in the preseason, I feel like the first 3 or 4 weeks of the season is kind of like preseason for the starters.
Definitely, yeah. I mean, the Lions offensive line, you could say exactly that against Green Bay. It looked like it was a preseason game for them. You know, they were missing assignments. They were confused a lot. First game on the road, especially in Lambeau's tough place to play. You want those preseason snaps to kind of build that rapport with your teammate, that chemistry. And you know, that first game really helps teams kind of understand where they're at. And the Bears, you know, from their first week to this week, looks pretty good. And the Lions, obviously, from the first week to the next week against the Bears, you know, showed major improvement.
You know, I was in Chicago first week of the preseason. And I like punching around and listening to other radio stations in other markets. And, of course, Chicago's a great one because it's the third biggest. And kind of the way they were talking about Caleb Williams and the new Ben Johnson era reminded me a lot of Matt Stafford era Lions, because there was sort of that optimism that usually went away pretty quickly. But there was a lot of parallels there, which I thought was pretty interesting. And now, you know, all the headlines I'm seeing is that, oh, is this the beginning of the Bears turnaround? It's like, oh, pump the brakes. It was against the Cowboys. And like you said, we don't know who the Cowboys are yet.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, when people like to get ahead of themselves when it comes to this kind of stuff, I mean, we saw Dan Campbell, his first season with the Lions. Obviously, their team was probably a little bit worse than right. What the Bears have right now, just because of circumstances. But Dan Campbell went, I believe it was 0-12 in his first 13 games. And yeah. He even had a tie in one of those games.
Yeah, first like season and a half, it looked like he wasn't going to get a third season.
Exactly. And, you know, people like to overreact and kind of get ahead of themselves a little bit when it comes to this stuff. And, you know, the Bears just need time, I think. They've got a lot of talent in a lot of different places. Obviously, their defense last year was very good, and they still have some of those pieces left. And Caleb has all the skill in the world. As a Lions fan, you can see that, but it's just about him putting together the pieces of leading a team, you know, making the right throws, the right decisions, and not, you know, just relying on his college talent that kind of just let him do, you know, whatever he wanted.
Yeah, I can see Caleb Williams' career going either way, either getting it together and becoming successful in Chicago, or I see him becoming a journeyman and playing that one season with the Steelers to resurrect his career like it seems like all these quarterbacks are doing. So we'll see. But we will talk about the Lions in a little bit. But I think that, number one, depending on what book you're looking at, I'm looking at FanDuel. They're 5.5-point underdogs against the Ravens in Baltimore. But with how crazy this weekend was, I'm not too scared off by the point spread, and we'll talk about that a little bit later. But Nick, I don't know if you played football back in school, but you know, the special teams, you always felt kind of bad being on the special teams because you're like, oh, I'm not starting on the offense or defense, I'm playing on the special teams. But it was a special teams weekend, especially during the 1 o'clock games.
Yeah, I turned on, you know, the Fox yesterday to watch, tune into, I had a little bet on the Green Bay and Browns game. Green Bay pushed for me, thankfully, +3. But I was watching that, tuning in, and I was like, wow, I couldn't believe the Browns won, first of all. I thought the Packers were just going to run away with it.
The whole game, you're like, okay, they're going to put their foot on the gas, and this is going to become a blowout, and it never happened.
Exactly. They couldn't run the ball. Jordan Love threw that costly interception in the second half, and Joe Flacco, you know, stepped up in ways we've seen him step up every couple games a year now that he's around 40 years
right.
old.
Love me some Joe. As someone in my 40s, I feel seen and represented with Joe Flacco still playing in the NFL.
And he's still doing well. But yeah, I turned on the TV, and then the Fox game and Cleveland and Green Bay ended, and all of a sudden they start showing these blocked field goals and everything between whether it was the Jets and Tampa Bay, the Rams and Eagles. It just happened all at once, it seemed like.
Poor AG, man. He still lost even though he was doing his high stepping on the sidelines.
Yeah, you got to feel bad for him at that kind of a loss. You know, those kind of mood swings, just, you know, you thought you had it in the bag, but you give Baker some time left. And we know Baker's pretty good in the clutch,
right?
As we've seen these past couple years. And obviously the Buccaneers were home. I've been rooting for Aaron Glenn. I want to see him get his first win. And just, you know, the Jets look competitive. I mean, the first game was pretty close, even with Justin Fields against Aaron Rodgers. And Justin Fields was out last game. Mm-hmm. And Pittsburgh and Tampa Bay both look like decent teams this year, and they barely lost to them without Justin Fields.
Do you find yourself rooting for Aaron Glenn more than Ben Johnson because Ben Johnson's in the division?
Oh, definitely. I would root for Ben Johnson if he was anywhere else, honestly.
Yeah. and you know what? There was a lot of talk about, how come Lions fans are rooting for Aaron Glenn and not Ben Johnson? It's pretty easy.
You play them twice a year.
Exactly. I think Aaron Glenn would get booed at Ford Field, but there's not as many opportunities to, and it would definitely be louder for Ben Johnson than Aaron Glenn.
Oh, definitely. I mean, regardless, if you're playing against the Lions, you're going to get booed, no matter if you coach there,
right,
whatever the situation is. But you don't play the Jets twice a year. You might see them once every couple of years. And obviously, they're in your division, so you're competing with a playoff spot directly against them. So it's just kind of, you know, it's what Ben Johnson wanted. He chose to go to a division rival, and this is how it's going to be for the next however long he's there.
You know, speaking of you always rooting for Aaron Glenn, I always root for Tyrod Taylor. I feel that guy has had – he got such a tough break in I don't know if they're still San Diego at that time with the Chargers, where wasn't it like a trainer punctured his lung and he had to sit behind Justin Herbert, and then it just turned – of course, we know what happened with Justin Herbert, but – what a terrible break for someone in their NFL career.
Yeah, you got to feel bad for him, especially he was already kind of a journeyman.
Mm-hmm.
I believe he had played for Buffalo before that, and he looked pretty good from when he was a starter, when he was kind of making those, you know, subbing in for players who were either injured or teams that are kind of, you know, looking for that QB answer. And he would provide some solid, steady relief. And, yeah, I mean, that whole situation just, you know, makes me feel bad. You never want to see a guy, you know, go out like that. But it's nice that he's still kind of hanging around and looking for that opportunity to kind of, you know, continue his journeyman career.
And we have just scratched the surface. We have a lot more storylines from the NFL over the weekend. Of course, we got to take a look ahead at Lions versus Ravens. Mike Parsons, Nick Lundberg, WJR. We'll be right back. Mike Parsons and WJR Digital Sports Director Nick Lundberg here talking about the weekend that was in the NFL and maybe some NCAA football if we get to it, and looking forward to tonight's Monday Night Football matchup between the Lions and the Ravens. But before we get to the Lions, Nick, speaking of primetime games, I am just stumped as to how Rams versus Eagles was a 1 o'clock game where the primetime game was Kansas City versus the Giants. And hell, even the game of the week was Bears versus the Cowboys. Now, I know the Cowboys, they probably have a secret contract with Fox because they're always the game of the week. But I just don't understand how you put the Giants in primetime over the defending Super Bowl champions and the Rams, who were a playoff team last year and might be competing for a Super Bowl this year.
Yeah, obviously, on paper, regardless of what you're looking at, what storylines you're looking at, the Eagles-Rams on the football field is a way bigger draw than Chiefs-Giants.
And the game would have lived up to the billing.
Oh, yeah.
In prime time.
We talked about earlier the blocked field goals. Like I said, I was watching Fox, Green Bay, Cleveland, and then they just turn it on to Philly, the live look-in that they do, Philly and Los Angeles, and all of a sudden, Jordan Davis, one of their biggest players, is returning, running his full speed and returning a touchdown.
I heard he got up to like 18 miles an hour. A man that size running 18 miles an hour is scary.
I guess they recruit those types of players at Georgia, and Philly is kind of just Georgia, the NFL version.
Yeah.
But I do want to say something to your point. It is the first Chiefs win since Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift are engaged. So that makes me think they wanted to put the Chiefs on primetime.
Right. Well, that's a good point. And then it's kind of that old, there are a couple sitcoms in the 90s where like there was like a pro athlete and he got a girlfriend and then he hit a slump or something. It kind of reminded me of that old trope. But, you know, I do think there's something to that. I think that it's so important to these networks to get Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce into primetime. And of course they didn't know that the Chiefs would have had a slow start when they were making the schedule beforehand. But I mean, the Giants weren't even good last year. I don't think the Giants should be playing anything but 1 o'clock games until they start flexing. And if they just happen to go on a run.
No, I definitely agree. We've seen the past couple of years of Russell Wilson looks like.
Yeah.
And obviously what the Giants offense was last year. Hard to expect much different with him.
Right.
And a rookie QB and, you know, scheduling that kind of game that early in the season, you don't know what you're going to have out of a rookie QB, especially in a pretty, you know, mid draft class overall, middle of the pack. But yeah, it just didn't seem like great foresight from the NFL. Probably lost a lot of ratings because of that. But the Giants, I like their defense going into the season, and that's kind of what my bright spot for them was. But I really think that the NFL just kind of wanted to give the Chiefs their moment to win a game.
Yeah, and maybe they were hoping that we would see the beginning of the Jackson Dart era in real time. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe.
All right, so I am wearing my lucky Jared Goff jersey shirt. I don't know if you know this, Nick. This shirt is like 10-1 or 11-1 since I got it.
Okay.
I got it last Halloween for a Halloween costume. The only game I didn't wear it for last season post-Halloween was Buffalo.
Oh.
Obviously, it didn't work in the playoffs against Washington. But, you know, that'll come with experience. This shirt's going to have that experience this year, and it's going to make a playoff run. And then I didn't wear it in week one, and then I wore it again in week two. So
interesting.
That's another reason I'm optimistic on the Lions. Like I said earlier, Ravens are a 5.5-point favorite, depending on which book you look at. I look at FanDuel. And, you know, this week will be a good measuring stick for both teams because I feel better about the Bears win, but I feel worse about the Green Bay loss. And I think, there's a lot of real estate between those teams. So going up against another elite team in the Ravens, I think is going to be good measuring stick for this team.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you. These games coming into the season, we all talked about how all the road games are going to be very difficult for the Lions to win. And these types of games are actually, like you said, good measuring sticks for where you're at in the season. Obviously, it's still super early. You already played what seems to be a good team in Green Bay on the road. and you bounce back against Chicago, two division opponents. And Baltimore and Buffalo had probably already the game of the year
right.
the first week. And what makes me confident about the Lions going in, even though the past couple of years we've seen Lamar Jackson just absolutely tear Detroit apart, no matter if they were good
right.
a couple years ago when they were bad, when Justin Tucker hit that crazy field goal. Just it never seems to go well against Baltimore. And it doesn't seem like Baltimore's defense is, you know, too up to shape. Obviously, the Buffalo Bills offense is dynamic as
right.
usual with Josh Allen. But it seems like there are some holes there that the Lions can kind of exploit and turn this game into a shootout. We've seen in the past, it's been very tough for Lions defense to kind of stop those mobile type cute quarterbacks.
Right. They always get to them and then they seem to escape.
Exactly. Like Justin Fields, we've seen, even like Patrick Mahomes,
right.
Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, those types of players have been very difficult for the Lions to deal with. So that's why I kind of think that's why this matchup is so tough for this team, especially when you're playing Derrick Henry too. They've got two MVP type players in the backfield. So it's definitely going to be tough for the Lions defense to kind of come up on top, but this might even be a statement game for Aiden Hutchinson this year. He,
right.
you know, had an okay showing against Chicago, had that pressure that led to that interception
yeah.
and a sack at the end of the game, which didn't really matter.
Right, but understandably so. I don't feel like he's quite back to the dominant form he was before the leg injury. Hopefully he gets there, but I don't think he's there yet.
No, it definitely doesn't seem like he's 100%. He's, you know, out there making an impact. Like we said, he had that pressure with that Kirby Joseph interception and had the sack at the end of the game. And obviously teams are, you know, game planning as hard as they can against him, sending two, maybe even three players. And even with him and the rookie Tyreek Williams, who's made a couple plays, you're still waiting for Alee McNeil to get back, which
right.
is basically half of your pass rush from the interior. And good news from him, actually, he said he's all ready to go, but they're kind of just, you know, trying to ease him back in and not rush things after, you know, tearing your ACL late in last season.
Right.
Especially with a big player, a big guy like that, you don't want to risk anything.
Yeah, that's a lot for that ACL to have to support.
Yeah.
Now, here's where I'm at on this game tonight. And you can tell me if I'm right or if I'm wrong. I'm not going to freak out if the Lions lose unless they get blown out or lose in a really stupid way. But if they do win, I'm going to feel really good about this team, where we're not quite sure if they're gelling under the new coordinators or they just beat a bad Bears team on an off day. Same thing with the offensive line. So that might be a double standard on my point, on my part. Because if they win, I'm going to feel good about this team. But if they lose, I'm not going to freak out. I'm going to reserve for like week five and kind of look back and make my judgment on what direction I think this team is going.
Yeah, I mean, you've got Cleveland at home coming up. And I mean, after watching the Packers-Browns game, it's kind of hard to
right.
still...
Not a gimme anymore.
Exactly. It's hard to consider that, but I don't know. I still, being at home... You've got this explosive offense that has clicked last week. I don't know. Going up against Joe Flacco, I really still don't see the Lions losing. And then you go to Cincinnati without Joe Burrow.
Right.
And they got absolutely destroyed.
So much so that CBS, like, cut away in the third quarter.
I mean, I really don't blame them, which is kind of crazy, the fact that they broadcast the whole game and then decide to just cut it.
Yeah. I was going to say, I don't know if I've seen that. Where they've actually cut away before the game was over to another game.
Yeah, I wonder, I mean...
They went to the Steelers-Patriots game, which turned out to be a better game, but...
Yeah, probably a smart decision, but, I mean, you didn't see Fox change the Lions-Bears when it was,
right.
you know, in the third quarter when the game was over.
Right.
But I like, you know, I like what this upcoming Lions schedule. Obviously, tonight is going to be a very tough test. And like you said, if we lose, if the team loses in a close game, it's not really a cause for concern in a way. We know what Baltimore is. They're a very good team,
right.
probably going to be Super Bowl contenders
right.
in the playoffs. And you've got a couple, you know, lighter games coming up, one at home, one on the road, before you really get into the meat of the schedule. And it's just a nice little, it's a good test this early in the season.
Coming up, we're going to look at where Michigan and Michigan State are after a big win for Michigan and a tough road loss for Michigan State. Mike Parsons, Nick Lundberg, WJR. Mike Parsons, WJR digital sports reporter, Nick Lundberg here. Taking you through the week that was in football and looking ahead to tonight's Monday night matchup between the Lions and the Ravens. And I don't know, Nick, you're in your 20s, right?
Yep, 22.
You're 22.
Oh, man. About to be 23.
Oh, okay. Wow, that makes all the difference. I got to say, for an old guy like me, an 11 o'clock start for Michigan State and a Monday night game, that's tough. As Brian Morton would say from JR Afternoon, Grandpa is tired.
I mean, honestly, everybody was tired. I'm tired. I'm still tired. 11 p.m. for a Big Ten game?
Right.
Are you kidding me?
Right. And not to sound like an old guy, but I hope it doesn't become a trend. But it will because, you know, the Big Ten's got West Coast teams now and they want to play in prime time. But
and it's crazy. USC next week is going on the road. I forget exactly where.
Right, but it's the Eastern time zone, I think, right?
Yeah, and they play at noon.
Right.
So it's going to be 9 in the morning for them.
Yeah, those guys have probably not played at 9 a.m. since, like, Pop Warner football in elementary school. But, look, I don't know. Here's the thing. I don't think anybody expected Michigan State to win that game. 45-31 sounds like a blowout, but it wasn't. I mean, here's the thing. The defense didn't look great, but USC has one of the more high-powered offenses in college football. And Michigan State, their offense proved that they could put up some points. And my expectations for Michigan State are different than Michigan. I think that 6-6 and a bowl berth, I think, is a success in progress for Michigan State this year.
As a Michigan State grad who covered the team the past couple years, they definitely look more composed in this year under Jonathan Smith than last year. Aiden Childs has taken a huge step.
I feel that way too.
In his development.
I feel like last year he was a whole bunch of talent and inexperience, and both of them showed at times.
Definitely. And the offensive line has improved. I wouldn't say it's, you know, as, you know, a crazy improvement from last year. There's still a lot of things you want to clean up in that unit. But he's got better players around him on the offensive side of the ball. Nick Marsh is going to be, I mean, I think he's going to be a first-round pick. Mm-hmm. He just looks unbelievable, even as a sophomore. And Amari Kelly is a pretty decent transfer, had a big touchdown at the end of the game against USC. But just going back, I mean, they can't generate any pressure.
Right.
And obviously USC's offense is very high-powered. They like to get the ball out quick, and that just, you know, didn't make for, you know, a good defensive game plan against MSU or for MSU. And when you lose your best player in Jordan Hall to targeting,
right,
and then all of a sudden your other linebacker, one of your other better players, linebacker Wayne Matthews, gets carted off and looks like he's, you know, very seriously hurt.
Right.
Thankfully he's okay. Not sure when he's going to return to the football field, but probably just better for him to focus on his overall health right now.
And I'm noticing a shift when it comes to these injuries. Number one, they didn't replay the Wayne Matthews injury over and over and over again. In fact, yeah. I didn't even really see it on social media, where with the DeMar Hamlin thing, you could, you know, they stopped showing the replay because they weren't sure if he was alive.
Yeah.
Not to sound morbid. But, you know, that was easily accessible all over social media unless you were looking for it. It kind of reminded me of what happened between the Lions and Atlanta in the preseason with Maurice Norris.
Oh, definitely.
Where both teams kind of got together and they kind of, you know, prayed or did whatever, you know, send whatever positive vibes they could. And then, you know, Matthews got a 5-minute standing ovation leaving. So very classy all the way around. People are kind of dragging USC for scoring on the next play, but that's what you do. You still have a football game to play, and you're still trying to win.
Yeah, as much as, you know, I want to see MSU win and, you know, to keep the game close, I mean, you got to take advantage of, you know, what's going on right now. And obviously the players were a little bit disheveled. You could see the looks on their faces.
Right.
Ben Roberts, the defensive tackle, was crying.
Right.
And, I mean, you're still playing a game of football at the end of the day, and, you know, you want to score as many points as you can. And USC, like we said, is a very high-powered offense.
Yeah.
It just led right into – this is another thing I want to talk about is the amount of commercial breaks there were for an 11 p.m. game just continued. It just dragged on and on and on.
Right. Well, they wanted to make sure that it didn't end till almost 3 a.m.
I was asleep by then.
What are you advertising at that point? Remember?
Sleeping pills.
I mean – last time I watched TV that late, it was like pure mood CDs and dirty chat lines. That was advertising at that time. Well, and then of course, Michigan, 30-27 win over Nebraska. It wasn't that close. Nebraska scored late and made it kind of interesting.
And the Hail Mary too.
Oh yeah, that's right. At the end of halftime or at the end of the first half, right?
Yeah, that was just a crazy play. I mean, they just kind of threw it up. Not knowing what was going to happen, and right. All of a sudden the score was tied.
I know you've got thoughts on the sign stealing scandal.
Oh yeah.
All I will say is that the best thing to ever come out of the sign stealing scandal is the gift that is Biff Pogge. And I don't know where Biff Pogge ends and Ed Orgeron begins. Because if you remember Ed Orgeron when he won the national championship, he was going to celebrate by having a ham sandwich. And Biff Pogge was going to celebrate beating Nebraska on the road by 3 by eating Haagen-Dazs until he went to the hospital.
Wow.
That man is a goldmine of sound bites.
Yeah, I was just going to say, he's a great quote. Obviously, Michigan won, and they ran the ball well. I mean, that's what they do. Justice Haynes looks like a very, very good portal addition, probably going to be an NFL running back.
It's the best thing they could have done for Bryce Underwood is go out and get Justice Haynes, because you've got all eyes and all scrutiny on this kid who turned like 17 years old, Bryce Underwood, that is, like a week before the season. He's got a $12 million NIL deal. He's not going to get to develop and make mistakes like most freshman quarterbacks. So to bring Justice Haynes in, who's leading the Big Ten in rushing, takes a whole lot of pressure off that kid and lets him develop.
Definitely. And, I mean, Michigan's O-line looked pretty solid, too. Last year, compared to the Jim Harbaugh years, definitely looked like a drop-off in that regard.
But, oh, absolutely.
But, I mean, we also have to realize that they are playing Nebraska, and Nebraska usually is very overrated going into the season.
Right.
They're 3-0. Nebraska's a very tough place to play, don't get me wrong. But watching those big runs for Michigan, I mean, some of those defensive breakdowns were just like, what are you doing?
Right. I still feel like Nebraska is living off their Tom Osborne reputation from the 90s.
Definitely. I mean, I kind of feel – you got to feel bad for the people in Nebraska that's kind of the only thing, the only – like, that's their pro sport.
Right, exactly.
And it's like they've packed that place. I think they – I was watching the game, and they said they haven't had – they've had a sellout for like 100 – more than 100 consecutive games.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable. And you just for that team to not give that, you know, state, that fan base, you know, those that what you said, those Tom Osborne years of, you know, going to the national championship. I didn't realize they scored 60 in a national championship game. Like, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, that might have been the Tommy Frazier game. I don't know.
It was. Yeah, they were showing those highlights.
Yeah.
But regardless, these past couple of years, Nebraska is always considered to be kind of high. Like in the Big Ten.
They're like Texas A&M. Texas A&M are always rated really highly at the beginning of the season, then they drop off.
I agree. And they have Matt Rhule, who was an NFL coach, you know, bringing a lot of hype. Dylan Raiola, mini Patrick Mahomes, even though he makes – I mean, he got, like, sacked, like, 6 times.
Yeah, I know there's been a lot of hype every time I've seen him play one of our teams here, and I just don't see it.
I don't see it either. Like, he can make nice throws on the run, but his pocket awareness just doesn't seem to be there. It seems like he gets frustrated very easily. And, you know, that's why I really like, not to mention the Lions, but like Jared Goff, you like QBs that are, you know, very calm, cool, and collected, that if they stuff, you know, starts to hit the fan, you don't want them freaking out and throwing the ball at the ground and, you know, getting pissed off. You want to see them emotional and like into it, but you don't want to see them frustrated.
Right. You want them steady. Okay, when we come back, we're going to tie up some loose ends and either win you or lose you a bunch of money. It's Mike Parsons, Nick Lundberg on WJR. All right, home stretch, Mike Parsons, WJR Digital Sports Director Nick Lundberg, And Nick, we have a friend in the studio. Why don't you go ahead and introduce him? I don't know what his title is, so.
I'm just going to say the biggest Broncos fan I've ever met, Dave Rieger.
Our gambling insider, Dave Rieger.
Fellas.
Dave, how you feeling about your Broncos?
Discipline. Lack of discipline for my Broncos.
Arnold Schwarzenegger soundboard. You lack discipline.
Correct. Very lack of discipline. I mean, two close losses, now 1-2, unfortunately. Should get back on track next week when the Bengals come Monday night without Joe Burrow. So,
and they lost to the Chargers, who are, you know, one of the best teams in the NFC.
Chargers are good, but again, discipline. Both their two losses were losses based on just lack of discipline.
Now, I'm a good, pious man, and I don't engage in gambling, mostly because I'm not any good at it. But, Dave, you've got a parlay for us, and I'm going to let Nick Lundberg here, the brains of the operation, analyze it here.
This is a pretty good parlay for tonight. I feel Nick and I have, collabed on parlays in the past.
Oh, definitely.
So
winning parlays.
Yes, we have. So Nick can obviously give some good insight into this. The first thing, I put this all together. This is, I'm going to take the Ravens to cover.
Okay.
-5.5. I think the Ravens actually win by double digits.
Wow. But okay.
I'm also going to take the over in this game.
Yes.
Due to the fact that the secondary for the Ravens is not that good, and I think the Lions will be able to score. Plus, I'm seeing a lot of garbage time points at the end of the game, too, when the game's out of reach that they can score. But getting into the meat of the parlay, I'm looking for both Lamar Jackson and Jared Goff to both have two touchdown passes or more.
Okay.
I think that will happen. I'm looking for 5 receptions or more from Amon-Ra St. Brown. I'm looking for Zay Flowers to have 5 or more receptions. Derrick Henry, 60 yards rushing.
Yeah. Oh, that's easy.
Rashad Bateman, 2 receptions. Mark Andrews, I'm looking for 3 receptions for Mark Andrews, and Jameson Williams for 2 receptions.
I like most of those. I mean, Rashad Bateman and Mark Andrews, give or take a little bit. But I do, I love the over in this game. I mean, me and Mike were talking about it earlier. The Bills-Ravens was, I mean, around 70 points scored.
It's 41-40, yeah.
I mean, we've seen the Lions offense be explosive, and they can probably keep up with that over line. And I, as much as I, you know, want to say the Lions are going to win, I do agree with, you know, the Ravens covering at home, you know, primetime game. Lions have always had trouble with Lamar Jackson, but I'm pretty confident in that.
How many leg parlay is that, Dave? I kind of couldn't catch up and I stopped writing.
This is a 10-leg parlay.
Okay.
That with a profit boost, which I did receive of 50%.
Ooh.
$25 is winning me just over $1,000.
Wow. Well, for what I was able to keep up with, Lions win. I'm sorry. Ravens winning and covering.
Ravens cover, yep.
Logically, I should be taking that bet. However, I'm wearing the lucky Jared Goff jersey shirt.
11-1.
That's right.
And, what's the one loss?
The one loss was the playoffs.
Okay.
But that's okay. It's got to get some experience.
Okay.
All right. I didn't wear it for the Bears game.
Okay.
And I didn't wear it for Buffalo last year.
Okay. That was my next question.
But with as crazy as this weekend has been, if the Packers can lose to the friggin' Browns, the Lions can beat the Ravens. So I'm going, since I'm still in homer mode, I'm going to go ahead and just throw my money away and bet on the Lions to win. I think the over is a pretty good bet. You guys both said it. Ravens scored 40 points both games, and the Lions, you know, the Lions are the Lions, minus what we saw against the Green Bay Packers. They still have that high-powered offense. And that would make sense to bet on Lamar Jackson and Jared Goff having 2 touchdown passes each. And then after that, I kind of tuned out. So. I got a couple of other prop bets that I came up with that I want to run through you guys. All right. Number one. I'll start with Nick, and then we'll go to Dave. What percent chance do you think Jared Goff has for retrying the Lions leap?
The Lions leap tonight?
In Baltimore?
No, just from now to the end of the season.
Percent chance. I mean, if we go through the highlight tape of that, going to say it's really low. I mean, he's really struggled to get up there.
Here's the thing. If I'm Brad Holmes and I'm paying that guy money, I'm like, this guy is going to hurt himself doing the friggin' Lions leap.
So after last week's game, Jared Goff commented on that and said that he looked so bad and felt so silly that I'm going to say it'll be a 0% chance that he ever tries again.
And then he complains that nobody in the stands helped him. You were jumping in front of like a 7-year-old girl. She's not going to pull you up into the stands.
He also like jumped sideways. It looked like. I'm like, what is he doing?
Yeah, I'm like, that guy is going to break an arm or hyperextend knee. And speaking of which, why does Amon-Ra St. Brown have to tempt fate by doing the hamstring injury?
He said it was just a joke.
I know, but with what happened last year, that's like bad mojo, man.
I agree.
That's like saying Bloody Mary into the mirror 15 times.
He was on his head. So
yeah,
okay.
Which, yeah. I am going to say, if the Lions clinch the division at home, and it's a blowout, I think he tries the Lions leap one more time late in that game.
I like that.
So I'm going to give it a 30% chance he tries it again.
I like that.
Tonight, I don't think this was on any of the sports betting apps. Dave, I'll start with you and then go to Nick. Will Isaac Tesla, it's important to say Tesla. Nick, you cover the team. Was there like some kind of memo that went out that said, make sure you call him Isaac Tesla instead of Tesla? Because we all really put the oomph on the sla.
Yeah, everyone. I mean, that seems to be, you know, everyone's doing that. But I liked what JMO said the other day. They were like, does this guy have a nickname yet or anything? He was just like, oh, no, I just call him Tesla.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty fitting.
Will Tesla have more than one catch tonight and use more than one hand to catch the football? Nick, what do you think?
I think he's going to have one catch tonight, but I think it's the first time he's going to use two. He's used one in each.
Right.
Now it's time to double up.
That's right. It's progress. That's a rookie progressing. What do you think, Dave?
I think he will have two catches tonight, and both will be with two hands.
Wow. The Rieger lock of the week is what I'm calling that. We have a little time left. I know Nick and I were debating the tush push last week. The NFL said that they were going to better officiate it. As Maury Povich would say, the paternity results said that was a lie. There was definitely a false start on one of them where the Eagles were going for the first down. Dave, do you think the tush push should be outlawed in the NFL?
No, I think you just got to find a way to stop it.
Nick?
I shared the same way. But the same feelings, but I do think that the refs need to overhaul the way they look at it.
Right.
Because when you look at highlights of these plays, you've got guys, Philly guys, before the snap, they're all literally like a foot, an inch, at least an inch ahead of the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, they were in the end zone before the snap last week against Kansas City.
And they already have like the best offensive line in football. So
yeah.
How much more an advantage does that unit need?
I think you officiate it better. I think you even use replay just to make sure.
I agree.
But I'm with Dave. I think, look, you know, there was this thing called the West Coast offense that was unstoppable, and then defenses figured it out. If you remember, the Wildcat was big for about 3 weeks back in the early 2000s. I don't like the thought of outlawing a play because it's too effective.
I think replay needs to be put, especially with, I don't know if you saw what happened yesterday with three field goals blocked.
Right.
And that led to teams winning. And going back to week two, there had to have been some leverage going on. And that hurt the Broncos 2 weeks ago against the Colts. And so I think that they need to be able to, with the tush push and other plays, go back and be able to replay and see what calls were missed by the refs. Because when you get that mass of humanity all together, they can't see everything.
Or I just say make it a replay every time the tush push is used.
Now, other people will say, well, that'll just make the game even longer.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
It can't get much longer than college football, I'll tell you that.
That's true. I think we're still waiting for MSU and USA to finish their fourth quarter. All right, thanks, everyone, for listening. Thank you, Dave, for coming by. For Nick Lundberg, I'm Mike Parsons. Go Lions.